May I speak to you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My father's first church was called the Church of the Ridge. Actually, there is no Church of the Ridge. It is a grouping of three Episcopal churches, one in Edgefield, South Carolina, one in Ridge Spring, and one in Trenton. And he served those churches from 1940 to 1942. He had spent 1 year as a deacon in Columbia before taking that call. And back in the 40s, still a very rural area, but very rural, and he had to do a lot of driving. He had to do a lot of driving at night, and cars those days weren't terribly reliable. So with some frequency, he would have breakdowns, sometimes at night on the back roads in South Carolina. And of course, there were no cell phones then. He would have to walk to what he could find was the nearest house. And frequently in those back roads, there were going to be houses of people who were very, very poor. And he commented how here is a stranger walking up at night, all dressed in black, as my father would have been, knocking on the door, and it always impressed him that those people would answer the door. Because let's face it, a lot of times these days, if somebody knocks on your door and late at night, you don't know who they are, and they're coming up all dressed in black, I suspect a lot of people here probably wouldn't answer that door. But they did. They did because they had a desire to care for a stranger stronger than their fear. Fear for their own person or fear for losing whatever little they had. What you could see in these, he would tell us about several of these encounters, the common thread was always love. That these people out there who had very little, they did have love for all, and especially for the lost, the left out, and the vulnerable, and even for the stranger knocking on their door at night. And the characteristic of that love was that love cast out fear. And they didn't worry what was on the other side of the door. They were going to answer it. Today, our Old Testament reading is from Jeremiah. And I need to give you a little bit of backstory so you can understand the significance of what Jeremiah was saying in our reading. Jeremiah is a prophet to the people in Judah and Jerusalem. And he's been telling them how they have been so mean-spirited, how they have oppressed the poor and the vulnerable. And as a result of their treatment of their fellow Jews and their failure to be faithful to God and God's commandments, that Jerusalem is going to be overtaken by the Babylonians and they are going to be carried off into exile. Destruction of their way of life as they knew it. It's a hard, hard message that Jeremiah was giving. And he was not very popular. As a matter of fact, the leaders of Jerusalem tried very hard to kill him. But then he goes on, and this is where we read today. He goes on to say that God's love nevertheless never ends. And God will restore God's people. And what he's saying today in particular is when God's people are restored, they're not going to need to learn the law anymore. The restored people of God are going to have the law already written on their hearts. It's not anything you have to learn. It's going to be written in their hearts because we all know, no matter what we might say, what do? We follow our hearts. When God's law is written on our hearts, we will in fact follow God's law. And God's law, we know, is the law of love. Not love in terms of affection as we normally think of it, but love in self-giving, in self-sacrificing. A love that casts out fear. A love that is the opposite of selfishness and self-centeredness. It is that law of love, the same law that Jesus told us all the law and the prophets hang on, loving God and loving your neighbor. It is on that law God will write our hearts. It's the same love that Jesus came to embody for us. When God sought to restore his people. In our gospel lesson today, we hear that the Greeks, two Greeks, have come to see Jesus. You need to understand that the word Greek just meant the foreigner, the world. It didn't necessarily somebody come from that little country that we think of as Greek today. That the world has come to see Jesus. The world has come to know Jesus. And when Jesus hears this, you notice he didn't say anything about whether I'll meet with him or not. He says, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Up until this point, Jesus has always said, my hour has not yet come. But now when the world, the Greeks, when the world has come to see Jesus, Jesus knows that his hour has come. It's time now for the restoration of God's people. Because God's people, you see, is not just the Jews in Jerusalem. God's people is everyone, all of humanity. And Jesus knows that the time has come for that restoration. But he also says that my soul is troubled. You see, Jesus knows at this point what it's going to take to restore humanity, what it's going to take to save humanity. He knows what it's going to be. And in truth, he is afraid. Who wouldn't be afraid to think that you're going to face torture and to be hung on a cross? Painful, painful death. Jesus is afraid, yet the love that is in Jesus, the love that is Jesus, cast out that fear in favor of his love for all of us. So then Jesus, instead of saying, I'm leaving Jerusalem and heading home, he says, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Jesus is telling his disciples when he realized that his time has come, the time for the restoration of humanity, that Jesus is talking about sacrifice. The seed, you see, is a sacrifice so that the wheat can grow and produce generously. And Jesus knows that he is being called upon to sacrifice so that humanity can prosper and be restored. But he tells his disciples, those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. What Jesus is saying here is that he's talking about the worldly life, the worldly life of the pursuit of power and money, status. And he's saying that those for whom that is their object in their life, that their heart is directed towards those things of this world, he says they will ultimately lose. They will lose it all. As opposed to those whose heart is not directed primarily towards power and wealth and status, but those whose heart is directed towards love, who are willing to sacrifice the pursuit of worldly goods in favor of the love for others, they will in fact gain everything, and most particularly, eternal life. And that is what Jesus is about to demonstrate in our gospel at this point, because the hour has now come. He says the Son of Man is to be lifted. Jesus is saying, I am to be crucified. And Jesus is telling his disciples he's going to live out the commandment of love by giving his life on the cross for the salvation of the world. Jesus wants that law of love written in our hearts, because Jesus wants us to be the part of that restored kingdom of God, to be the people of God, that where we follow our hearts is following his commandment of love. That's why when we become Christians in our baptism, we die to self, die to those selfish desires, and rise to new life in Christ Jesus, where our heart is focused on love. Love of God and love of our neighbor. Because when we rise to that new life, we receive the abundant life that springs from God's love. God's love for us. That's why at the beginning of the service in the collect for the fifth Sunday of Lent, we prayed for the grace to love what you command and desire what you promise, that our hearts may surely there be fixed where true joys are to be found. Beginning of this service, we prayed for the grace to love as Jesus did. We prayed for the grace to love as Jesus commands, that we may find those true joys that our loving God wants for us. A joy of a life not governed by fear, a life not governed by selfishness and self-centeredness, but rather a life secure in the knowledge of God's love for us. God loves us unconditionally and will never abandon us, no matter what the world throws at us. That, you see, is the abundant life that flows from the law of love and is to be written on our hearts and to cast out all fear. Amen.